This is Jay Sekulow, week two of the trial involving Planned Parenthood in California.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's start with the Planned Parenthood case because we're in week two. By the way, looks like it's going to be a six-week trial. I mean, the plan right now is that this trial probably goes for about 6 weeks. The admissions that are coming out of Planned Parenthood here are kind of breathtaking in scope, specifically as it relates to issues that the Planned Parenthood specifically did not want raised in the proceedings. They did not want to raise in the proceedings the illegality that was being investigated by the undercover reporters. That was, of course, involving the sale of fetal body parts. They didn't want the mention of fetal body parts. They didn't want to mention what was on some of these tapes. Yet what's so ironic in all of this is that Planned Parenthood's own lawyers have opened the door. Now, what that means legally is when you say someone's opened the door, they've set forth a series of questions, and that because of those questions, what happens, and this is, again, they did this themselves, what happens is now they've opened the door, so you get to ask questions to follow up because the jury is hearing this, and it would be a violation of due process to try to defend a case when you're not allowed to, in fact, make statements in response to videos that are now public. Or, in this particular case, where the judge said, I don't want any mention or discussions of illegality on Planned Parenthood's behalf, which is how this started. So they filed what's called a motion in limine early on, which means area of things that will not be discussed. And what you had here, and this is just fact, is that they, right in the beginning of this trial, I mean, right as the trial began, they themselves opened the door. And they opened the door because a series of questions came up. Why did you think this violated, you know, why did you do these videos? Why were these videos done? Because, and the person answered, because we thought that they were engaged in illegal conduct. So they opened up the door to this, and now just 3 weeks into it, it continues.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happened. So in the trial, and we talked about this, but let's just set the stage to get to then what happened yesterday. So 4 years ago this started, where you had the Center for Medical Progress. You all saw these videos, right?
Right.
The video showed one Planned Parenthood abortionist negotiating very clearly over infant body parts, and even joking that what they wanted in exchange was a Lamborghini, which really means lots of money, you know, a lot of money. Not just, these are not doctors or researchers. They want cash. It's a business, money. And when you use the word Lamborghini, it might not mean that she actually wanted an actual Lamborghini, but it means she wants hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this. And that they were willing to discuss the harvesting of babies' brains, livers, kidneys, and legs from tiny preborn children, offering to alter the abortion technique, which is illegal under the law, to ensure that the tissues would be undamaged and suitable for research. And then they also, on video, were bragging about the revenue earned by the sale of these organs and tissue taken from aborted infants. Now, they did this, they had these conversations with people, they didn't know who they were. I mean, you know, and again, so it was undercover, but they sat down with them. They had it in open public places like restaurants, and they decided to take these meetings, and that's how they talk. Well, later, so Planned Parenthood's whole goal has been to shut these videos down completely so that no one sees them, including people during this trial, because there's a criminal side to this trial and a civil trial. Well, on Friday, October 4th, Planned Parenthood's lawyers, as you said, Dad, really screwed up because they called one of the co-defendants, Susan Merritt, of Center for Medical Progress, to the stand. And even though the judge said that abortion-related nature of the videos should not be the focus of the trial, the attorney for Planned Parenthood asked her why she could record the conversations with the Planned Parenthood doctor. The judge allowed the question because it's Planned Parenthood's questions, lawyer's questions, and her answer was to see if Planned Parenthood was engaging in criminal activity, but thus opening the door for the videos to be fully exposed again to the public.
They did this. They asked the question. So, of course, the person can answer the question. I mean, this is what's so absurd. So I don't know what Planned Parenthood was trying to do, but there you have it. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110, giving you really, literally live updates from the courtroom.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Two of a trial in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, and that is a case that Planned Parenthood brought against our clients. Our clients involved the Center for Medical Progress. We represent one of the board members in that trial. The issue became undercover videos that were released to the public about 3 years, almost 4 years ago now. And what's interesting about that is Planned Parenthood fought like the dickens to keep out this information at trial. They didn't want discussions of illegal conduct by Planned Parenthood. They didn't want discussions as to why these videos were done. Yet, interestingly here, they opened the door to all this.
Absolutely. So the damage has been done. So effectively, Planned Parenthood's lawyers are probably guilty of legal malpractice. In other words, they opened a door that they had spent thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars attempting to close. And so 4 years ago, this case started with the distribution of undercover videos by the Center for Medical Progress. And so while Planned Parenthood has denied the veracity of these videos, essentially now, under oath, Planned Parenthood admits that Planned Parenthood's own officials engaged in the contested conduct which generated the activity by the pro-life advocates.
Right.
So essentially, that provides a legal, moral, and justifiable basis for the activities allegedly engaged in by our client and the Center for Medical Progress. And I think it's clear beyond question, and it should be clear beyond question as this trial unfolds, that Planned Parenthood, as we have alleged consistently, is a bad actor,
yes,
and its misconduct verges on human rights abuses.
So let's remind everybody what was in these videos. So Planned Parenthood was exposed, engaged in the following conduct. Negotiating over infant body parts and joking about one of the doctors' abortionists wanted a Lamborghini. That she said this was just a joke. So I don't think fetal body parts and Lamborghinis is very funny, personally. Discussing the harvesting of babies' brains, livers, kidneys, and legs from tiny preborn children. Offering to alter abortion techniques, which could be a violation of the law, to ensure that the tissue is undamaged and suitable for research. Bragging about the revenue earned by the sale of organs and tissue from aborted infants. Now, I want to go to Than Bennett on this because, Than, we've been fighting against Planned Parenthood for literally 30 years, more than 30 years. And the fact is, some of their funding has been cut, but they are still a big group to deal with in your work every day on Capitol Hill.
Well, we've always been honest with folks, Jay, that this was going to be a long battle and it had to be fought on multiple fronts. We've, of course, been fighting it legislatively for a number of years, and I know a number of people were disappointed, including us, that we did not get the hundreds of millions of dollars that Planned Parenthood collects under Medicaid repealed when we had the chance, when there was a repeal vote on Obamacare. But, Jay, we are winning victories, the Title X victory that we had with the $60 million that Planned Parenthood had to relinquish. But I want people to think about this because it is really having an impact. You and Jordan have been laying out this case that's going on in California where we are taking Planned Parenthood on in court. But think about the last few weeks and the backdrop against which this trial is taking place. Just this week, Jay, inside the Democrat debate, what was the cry on this issue from the Democrat candidates up on stage? It was, hey, look out, everybody. Planned Parenthood clinics in your state, they're closing. Jay, they're closing because the American people are waking up to what is happening. That is in no small part due to the efforts like this court case demonstrating what Planned Parenthood still does. Now, it's true, they still have a $1.7 billion in revenue. But, Jay, because of this administration, $60 million less of that comes from you and me, the taxpayers.
So on October 4th, Planned Parenthood lawyers called the co-defendant Susan Merritt of the Center for Medical Progress to the stand. So actually brought her to the stand to testify. She's a pro-life grandmother who went undercover to expose Planned Parenthood. The judge in the case, as I said, had already ruled that the abortion-related nature of the video should not be the focus of the trial. But the attorney for Planned Parenthood opened the door, asking Ms. Merritt, why she recorded her conversations with the Planned Parenthood doctor. And she answered. And the Merritt's answer said that the main reason she was doing this was to see if Planned Parenthood was engaged in criminal activity, which, again, was exactly as Harry said. It was exactly what they fought against. So, Wes, when I look at this and I look at what's going on here, the true nature of the – you cannot ignore the true nature of what abortion is.
Absolutely. The thing that I find so disturbing about this is that they're not ashamed of what they're doing. No. And they have this cavalier attitude about selling the body parts of children. You know, there are numerous laws in the books about how we treat the dead, you know, funeral home industry, yes, and that kind of thing, even tissue from surgery centers, what have you. They are making jokes about selling the parts of infant children. I just find that shocking. And I thought about the same thing that Than thought about this morning as I read through some of the material from the trial. And that is, last week at the debate, every one of the Democrat candidates is a supporter of Planned Parenthood and a supporter of abortion. They consider it a woman's right to choose, not thinking about the rights of that unborn child.
We're getting calls coming in. We're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. We're in week two of this trial, so it's fully underway. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Michelle's calling from Washington State on line one. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michelle.
Thank you for taking my call. I live in Washington State,
yes,
and we were the first state that used taxpayer funds to pay for abortions. Would this case impact Washington State and other abortion issues around the country?
Well, long-term, look, I mean, any of the cases that will involve funding, and there's a series of those going up right now, depending on how the decisions go and what the Supreme Court decides, Harry, is going to impact. This is called stare decisis, so it would be an impact on it. The question's going to be, now, the case that's been granted review right now involves admission privileges, doctors not having admission privileges, and that's a basis upon which, if you don't have admitting privileges, you don't get to be able to perform these procedures, which really makes sense when you think about it, because there can be emergencies here. The funding itself has been I will tell you, it has been the most challenging of the issues. There's no question about it. The funding, getting this, I mean, I could think administration after administration, Than, has tried and tried, and it just doesn't seem to happen.
Jay, this is the first one where there's been progress on that. The second biggest tranche of federal money, which goes through Title X, has effectively been cut off by the Trump administration. Just weeks ago, Planned Parenthood voluntarily withdrew because this administration says if you do abortion services, you cannot get that title fund. Of course, the biggest tranche is still through Medicaid reimbursement. We have not been able to get there yet because that requires the cooperation of Congress. Quite frankly, Jay, people on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, have stood in the way of that. That would be another $400 million. But to the caller's point, and I think Jordan wants to chime in on this as well, this is a state fight, too, because all of those things, right, involve state taxpayer dollars as well. In Washington, California, and other places, you should be talking to your state representative as well about that pot of money.
It all works together. We were finally seeing the abortion business under pressure. Mm-hmm. They are on the defensive. They used to be able to run to courts, whether it was the Ninth Circuit,
right,
or state courts like in California, yeah, and get everything they wanted, and go to Congress and get everything they wanted. And even Republican presidents, like Than said, didn't do what they could do by executive order, which was take away $60 million of their funding just like that. President Trump was the first president to do it. He said he wanted to defund Planned Parenthood. He couldn't get Congress to do the full defund because of John McCain's vote, actually. That was there in the Obamacare repeal. So John McCain's vote against that kept the funding going. The president was hamstring there, so he looked for another way. Well, it wasn't something he created. Every president has had the ability to cut Planned Parenthood out of these family planning services. And so it took $60 million immediately away from Planned Parenthood. They didn't even want to try to comply with the rules. And that money, by the way, is not just like cut from the federal government. It's now available for applicants like pro-life pregnancy centers. So it's going to the pro-life community. So it's a two-part win, cutting funding from Planned Parenthood and getting money to those pro-life pregnancy centers that Planned Parenthood always wants to, and states like California, probably Washington State, New York, and others try to shut down. They're actually now open to getting more federal grants. But I think what we're seeing is these missteps by Planned Parenthood that they would never make before. They use big law firms, Dad. It's not like,
oh, no, I know that.
This is not like Planned Parenthood staff lawyers. These are huge law firms handling a case. And for 4 years, they were basically able to get these videos out of the public. You know, it hit the public, everyone saw it, and then it became like a crime to show them. And so they've got criminal and civil. And because of their lawyer's own mistake in pulling a witness forward and a simple question that you could have guessed what she was going to say, which is, why did you want to do these videos? To see if Planned Parenthood was violating the laws about selling baby parts and other laws about abortion. So it wasn't just to make fun of Planned Parenthood or to say Planned Parenthood is bad. It was specifically, like any investigative reporter would do, to go undercover. And all these people came to voluntary dinners with people they had never heard of before.
Right.
So they did it in the open, did it in the public, or let them inside their office and told them all of this stuff about altering procedures, illegal in many states and federal law, to alter a procedure to get a baby's body part to sell. To make a profit, illegal. So you don't get Lamborghinis if you're following the law. All of this exposes now Planned Parenthood to criminal conduct, and their own lawyer did it.
Yeah, that's what's so the irony of all this.
So you got to keep pushing.
You know, your support for the ACLJ allows us to be in court for 6 weeks in the Northern District of California. You can support the work of the ACLJ. Easy way to do that. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're taking a break. We're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
All right, so welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We're finishing up week two of the trial in San Francisco, in Northern District of California. We've got a team of four ACLJ lawyers out there. During testimony, this was in our report on October 15th, so just a few days ago. This is what happened. During the testimony of one of the witnesses, this was a Planned Parenthood abortionist. Another video was brought up that has not been released publicly at this point, but it was played in the courtroom to the jury. There, the abortionist, his name is Tom Moran, who is the associate medical director at Planned Parenthood in the Pacific Southwest, who also worked for Planned Parenthood for 17 years, took the stand and testified regarding the video in which he apparently volunteered that there were high demands for specific organs from babies while he worked for a tissue procurement company, including the liver. Now, Moran testified that the tissue procurement company was, quote, currently associated with Planned Parenthood. So, again, there's the tie-in. On cross-examination, Moran was asked the following question. As a result of the abortions that would be performed there, including abortions you did, they would sometimes place a demand for certain organs, correct? So this is asking the abortion doctor. His response, that was certainly my understanding, yeah. Whether it was a liver, but whether it was actually they wanted a liver or a kidney, I don't know, intestines. They never got the privy of exactly what the list was they were looking for, but we were told, and this is again, one of their own abortionists admitted under oath that they were actual demands for specific organs and Planned Parenthood was procuring it. So they were making money on both ends of this, Harry. That's what's interesting here. They're making money on the abortion procedure itself and then the sale of the woman's aborted child's baby parts.
Absolutely. And so I think...
I want to say that again. Think about this. They are making money from the abortion, from the procedure itself, terminating the life of the unborn child. And then they are turning around and taking the fetal body parts of the woman's unborn child that's now been killed and selling it to a third party. Go ahead.
So it's important to note, and this trial exposes Planned Parenthood's commitment to barbarism. Planned Parenthood sought to refine its abortion procedures such that you would have an aborted fetus with intact body parts. So it's very, very important for listeners to tune in to this trial, to stay abreast of the developments, because it exposes Planned Parenthood's commitment to barbaric practices. What we now have right in front of us is 21st century barbarism led by elites who are appearing in court in designer suits and smartphones, and they are looking to trade essentially body parts for sports cars. That's number one. Number two, I would make this point. Elections have consequences. So pro-life voters need to be energized and animated by the misconduct, arguably, by Planned Parenthood, and they need to take action in their states in order to reduce the probability that these practices continue going forward.
But, you know, the irony here is, I'm pointing this out again, is that Planned Parenthood is making money, Wes, from the doing the abortion procedure itself, and then the fetal remains of the woman's child are then sold by Planned Parenthood for profit. Or for, if it's not for profit, what do they say? For their actual costs and expenses. That's how they say it. But it's the woman's child's body parts. I mean, I'm describing an unbelievably gruesome matter. But this is the reality of what it is. You got to point to what this is.
Absolutely. It's shocking. I mean, think about it. You know, they try to say, well, it's not a human being. We're talking liver, kidneys, intestines, legs, arms. This is a human being. You know, this idea that Planned Parenthood has used for years, that they are the cover they use, that they're a women's health organization, is a farce. And I think the American people are wising up to it. The other thing that's coming out in this trial is that apparently Planned Parenthood, their regional and national directors had what has been called a don't ask, don't tell policy about these illegal, unethical activities. Mm. And the reason they wanted the individual clinics to do it, but we don't want to know about it, is because they wanted plausible deniability. Mm. You want plausible deniability when you know that what you're doing is illegal, unethical.
All right, let's do this. We're taking calls. 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110.
Right to the phones we go. Tyrone in New York, another one of the states. New York passed the most pro-abortion law in the country. Others have followed abortion up until birth. It was celebrated by Governor Cuomo and Hillary Clinton.
They lit the Freedom Tower. The Empire State
That's another tough state like California. Tyrone, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Tyrone.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Jordan and Jay. Yes, I'm from New York, but I actually live in Maryland.
Okay. Tyrone, because I'm from New York, you sound like a New Yorker, which is good.
I know. You're from Long Island. I'm from Long Island.
All right,
I'm
there
from
you
Hempstead.
Go. Yeah. Oh, hey, the neighbors.
But anyway, I know that the left is so bent on shredding the Constitution, but why is it so hard to enforce the Hyde Amendment as it relates to this issue?
I'm going to go to Than Bennett on that. Than?
It's a shell game. It's an accounting gimmick. The Hyde Amendment that Tyrone is talking about is a federal prohibition on federal dollars being used to pay directly for abortions. And Planned Parenthood technically follows it. But, Jay, they use it to subsidize all their other business, to keep the lights on, and then they use the funds they raise privately to pay for abortion. Tyrone, here are the numbers. I'll just give you three numbers, and you can do your own math. $1.7 billion in revenue for Planned Parenthood. $564 million of that comes from taxpayers. Tyrone, they make $245 million of profit. Do you think they need that more than $500 million from taxpayers? I sure don't.
Yeah, by the way, we're going to be joined with one of our lawyers from the ECLJ who's got they put together a great book on abortion in Europe. I'm going to make sure we talk about that. Let's go ahead and take another phone call here.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Kevin in Ohio on line two. Kevin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Kevin, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The question I had was whether or not the women who have had abortions were notified that their fetuses were going to be sold.
That's a very good question. I do not know. I'm not sure. They even fight against. Remember, they don't even like the abortion industry doesn't even like what's called informed consent, Harry. I mean, so, but I don't know if we have the information on that. Were they actually told that the fetal body parts were going to be sold? I don't have
specific information on that, but I do know, as a matter of course, that Planned Parenthood does not favor full disclosure.
Yes,
does not favor a full and complete and thorough accounting. And I think, as a fan correctly pointed out, they like to hide their misconduct. And I think this trial that we're talking about in California suggests that that Planned Parenthood is most interested in hiding its malpractice, in my opinion, with respect to the sale of fetal body parts.
All right, so we're getting ready to take a break. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. You don't get the full hour of the broadcast. You know what to do over at SiriusXM, of course. A number of stations carry it. And, of course, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, and ACLJ.org. Now, we've got an international issue we're going to do in the next half hour involving the UN. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. Of what's going on there. So we're going to talk about that. But let me encourage you to do something. We've just finished week two of this trial in California. Your support for the American Center for Law and Justice, for the ACLJ, allows us to go to court. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. It allows us to deploy lawyers here in the United States, around the globe, fighting issues like life, human decency and respect, a whole host of issues on religious freedom and religious liberty. So, again, go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And don't forget this, Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available in bookstores everywhere. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've spent the first 30 minutes talking about our second week completing, the second week of trial. By the way, our lawyers, we were trying to get one of our team on today because sometimes they don't have court on Friday. They are having it today. So our team is in California, in San Francisco, on that trial. That's going on right now, literally, as we speak. We're in court there.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out this is a case where we have an actual client, you know, being sued by Planned Parenthood. So this is not like a civil case about Planned Parenthood restrictions on abortion that the state is handling. We are actually the ACLJ having to defend a client from being sued by Planned Parenthood, being treated. This is a civil matter. There's also a criminal matter, and they're trying to get this client. Of course, they would like to bring the criminal matter to our client as well. We've been successful so far, and I think Planned Parenthood has had some big missteps in court via their attorneys. But again, I wanted to highlight this because this is when the ACLJ plays this unique role.
Yes.
Where we are representing those who are on the front lines of the pro-life movement, who get the videos, who expose this, and who then come under attack by Planned Parenthood. Dad, you've had Supreme Court cases about these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fighting Planned Parenthood in the Supreme Court for three decades. Fight.
It's not the restrictions and rules that states or federal governments impose or funding. It's the exposing, which they can't stand, or the speech that they want the abortion distortion, and they're losing it. And they actually brought it on themselves this time after keeping these videos out of the public after they went public for almost 4 years. Now it's all being talked about again openly in court.
It's the irony of this is that their lawyers fought like the Dickens to not have that happen. And then they just opened the doors. Harry said, I mean, my goodness. I mean, you talk about negligence. I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, you know, we don't want you to talk about illegal conduct. Then they first question, I mean, it literally was one of the first questions asked of one of the first witnesses. Not what did you do? In other words, I went in, I bought, why did you do it? Well, why did you do it was I thought they were engaged in illegal conduct. And I mean, it still blows my mind, Harriet, that they opened up the proceedings after spending a week trying to get that stuff out, not allowed to be in there because they got a jury they're dealing with, that they would do that.
Yeah, so I think this is obvious and unmistakable legal malpractice. Secondly, I think it indicates that the lawyers do not understand their own case. Keep in mind that Planned Parenthood initiated this action. So why did they initiate this action in the first place? They initiated this action, at least in part, to prevent the further distribution of these videos. But nonetheless, at the trial, they basically opened the door to have a full discussion of the contents of the video. This makes no logical sense, but I'm glad they've made these types of mistakes. The lawyers have, because this will then lead to a wider exposure of Planned Parenthood's misconduct.
But you know, Wes, part of this, and I agree with everything Harry said, but part of this is a campaign by Planned Parenthood to dehumanize the unborn child.
Yes, absolutely. They do not want to admit that this is a human being, that they are actually taking a human life. It is not an embryo. It is not fetal tissue. It is a human life. And interestingly enough, as I said earlier, that's what they're trying to use as their cover. And yet they're talking about the parts, the literal parts that every one of us have in our bodies as human beings.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by a lawyer from the ECLJ, fighting for life in Europe, too. Big fight, actually. We're also talking about the UN Human Rights Council. Hey, Than, give us a 20-second on that one. Just a little teaser. You're not going to believe this, folks.
Well, 47 members of the Human Rights Council, I think the new additions might surprise some people. Libya, Sudan, and Venezuela, Jay, they were all elected to the United Nations Human Rights Council. Might be a good thing the United States decided to leave it.
Yeah, that's the Human Rights Council. If that's what we're basing our human rights on, the world has a big problem. And these countries, I mean, this is what tells you what a farce some of this is. All right, we're taking your calls and comments, 800-684-3110. Comments coming in by Facebook and Periscope. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org and Jordan's book, The Next Rape Wave, available in bookstores everywhere. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls, in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
You know, for our Facebook audience and Periscope and Twitter, we just and TV, we just played a video of Christoph before the one of the UN bodies giving what's called an oral intervention. An oral intervention means you actually not only submit a written document, but you actually advocate. You make an oral intervention. We've been talking about Planned Parenthood, but let me tell you this: we've got our European Center for Law and Justice has NGO status, non-governmental organizational status officially before the United Nations. Now, we fought for that. It did not come easily. It took us about 2 years to get it. We had a fight and fight and fight. I conducted the final push on that and did the if you call it a hearing, I guess, of our admission. And we fought hard and we got it. We won. But we had a fight for it. And we're able to do a lot of things. You just saw a little bit of it on, again, if you were watching on Facebook or Periscope. The interesting thing here is the book that's been presented that our team has published out of our European Center for Law and Justice, which is comprehensive. It's almost 300 pages. It's called Law and Prevention of Abortion in Europe. We've been talking about abortion in the United States, but we're doing this on a global basis. And the issue, Christoph, of abortion comes up within the United Nations context. I mean, it does come up in the United Nations, correct?
Of course.
Go ahead.
Now, you've been talking of the Planned Parenthood since the beginning of the show, and they are very active at the UN. There are many NGOs, Planned Parenthood, Maria Stops, and other NGOs that are fighting for making abortion an international human right, as a matter of fact, which is why it's important that we are there to fight back. And in any document the UN is potentially publishing, they try to have the maternal health and sexual and reproductive rights included. So it's the vocabulary they're using to pushing abortion, and they're doing everything they can to have every country allowing, providing for abortion.
So, Than, when we talk about, you know, we talk about in the halls of Congress, you come up against Planned Parenthood all the time, but you are one of our designated individuals within the United Nations. You're fighting them there, too. This is exactly what Christoph said.
No doubt about it. Had a team of five up just a few weeks ago at New York at the General Assembly arguing for religious liberty, including the right to life. Jay, this is something I think is really important for our members to hear. One of the things that we hear all the time when we're up at the General Assembly is, look, it's just too hard to get the world to pay attention to these issues of life or issues of human rights. Jay, what we tell them when they say that is, let me show you a video or a transcript of our European counterpart, Christoph, inserting these issues into these chambers. We're just an NGO. Yet we make the case you are a member state. There is no excuse for you not advocating for these issues just like we do. Jay, Christoph is absolutely right. It's a regular issue, but it is an uphill climb to get member states to engage on them. It's why it's so important that we have that consultative status.
You know, one of the things, Jordan, that we deal with on this, and I want to get into the particulars of this UN Human Rights Council, but the United States pulled out of the UN Human Rights Council.
Yeah, that's right. The UN, the U.S. pulled out of the UN Human Rights Council in 2018 for two reasons. One, because we didn't want to keep funding all these anti-Israel resolutions. I mean, it was like a mini version of the General Assembly. It's anti-Israel, anti-U.S. As we go through, you know, we've go through these members that are now on there. Even if you go through the current members that are on there, I mean, it's not like these three are like Libya, Sudan, Venezuela, who are new to it, are the only bad actors on there. You could go through and look at this, Angola, Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. I mean, these are not necessarily stable places. Pakistan, Afghanistan, not stable. You look through it and you say, this is another reason why. Why are we sending all this money there? And then you throw in a Libya, which is a failed state, Sudan, which had an overthrow of a dictator who was wanted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes. But now the overthrow of the dictator is a military dictatorship, which we've seen happen time and time again in these African countries. So they're going to be on the human rights. Venezuela starving their own people with Maduro, who we don't even recognize as the leader, and they get elected. Now, there's also another reason Christoph brought this to my attention, that the U.S. left, which is a little more technical, but it's pretty clear. The Human Rights Council decided that you'd have to have a two-thirds vote of the 47 to remove anyone from the council who is violating human rights.
So let's to be.
There's more people on the council who are human rights violators than aren't.
Yes. So that means
seriously.
So how does that work? So in other words, to remove somebody, two-thirds have to go ahead.
To have to vote against this country. So with the Arabic majority, or you just have to have some alliances and you keep your seat. And the other thing is that there are 47 seats, and they have to have a balanced representation per region in the world. So you have to have 13 people, I guess, from Africa, about the same number from South America. So they end up being compelled to elect human rights violators as
so
members.
So human rights violators make up a majority or because of the two-thirds rule.
Well, and then Western Europe only gets 7 seats, and Eastern Europe gets 6. Latin America and the Caribbean gets 8, so they get more than Western Europe. We're U.S. is included in like Western Europe.
Yeah.
So, when you add up Eastern Europe, Latin America, Asia Pacific, like China's a lot of other dictatorships, Vietnam, Myanmar, others keep going through that list, and then Africa, which I'd say about half the countries are dictatorships or at least phony democracies, even when there's been Or failed states. Like Libya is a failed state. They have leaders, but there is no leadership. It is a war zone. And again, Sudan also is now a military dictatorship after finally getting rid of Omar al-Bashir, wanted for war crimes and crimes against humanity and genocide. He's now being tried by the military that he once led in Sudan, but the military took power even though the people pushed him out. And so that's not a good situation for the people either.
So, Wes, you looked at some of the statistics on the anti-Israel aspect of this.
That was one of the reasons the U.S. withdrew and withdrew our dollars. In the first year that the Human Rights Council was organized, 2006, all of their deliberations that first year, 2006, they only condemned one nation the entire year, even though there were atrocities and mass killings in a lot of places like Sri Lanka and India and other places, Libya. That year, they only condemned the nation of Israel. In April of 2006, a Palestinian suicide bomber blew himself up in a Tel Aviv restaurant, for example, killing 11 people, ages 16 to 73. The Palestinian organization claimed it was self-defense, and because of that defense, the Human Rights Council took absolutely no action. In its first 10 years of existence, the Human Rights Council has condemned Israel 62 times. 12 years ago, They have an agenda, and it varies, but there are certain permanent agenda items on the Human Rights Council.
Yeah.
Item number 7, every year when they meet, is to examine the human rights abuses of Israel. It is laughable that the Human Rights Council puts on the council, they not only don't call out nations that abuse humans, they put people who are human rights abusers on the council. It is like taking a man who beats his wife and putting him on a community board to prevent domestic violence.
But guess who else utilizes the UN Human Rights Council? Not just human rights abusing states. Oh, yes, we were talking about in the first half hour. International Planned Parenthood Foundation. They're also an NGO, and you would think they'd be with the Population Fund and other places like that, which are rife with funding abortion. We also stopped funding that as the U.S. government stopped funding that finally, which pays for international abortions, which violates our laws also, Mexico City policy. But guess who wants to make abortion a human right? Well, of course, the International Planned Parenthood Foundation. We have to fight them. Here's Christoph, so you can all hear what he's doing. You've mostly heard him talk about individuals persecuted for their faith, but this is about fighting back on life at the Human Rights Council.
At the UN.
The European Center for Law and Justice has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. The ECLJ would like to alert member states to the current attempt to create a universal right to abortion. Indeed, the Human Rights Committee, in its last draft general comment on Article 6 on the right to life, is trying to impose the legalization of abortion and euthanasia against the will of state parties, against the letter of the text, and in contradiction with its mandate. The draft fails to mention the right to life of the unborn child and presses states to legalize abortion on demand and without limitations. Any limit on abortion is seen by the committee as a potential violation of women's rights. As to euthanasia, the committee is openly promoting assisted suicide. It is absurd and unacceptable to draw from the right to life a right to kill an innocent human being or a right to be killed. The ECLJ must remind this committee that its job is to interpret the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, not to create new rights or obligations. Article 6 was never intended to give ground to the idea that the life of the unborn is not worthy of protection, quite the contrary. Interpreting the article in a way that creates a right to abortion violates both the Covenant and the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties. The ECLJ invites state parties and the committee to reaffirm that the right to life, the most precious one, is to be promoted for every human being from conception to natural death. Thank you.
So there you have it. That's Christoph, who's with us in our studio today, but actually at the United Nations, at the Human Rights Council, standing up for life. So your support for the work of our institutions allows us to do that. So in Geneva or in San Francisco, ACLJ, ECLJ, our affiliated organizations are there. Now, Christoph has and our Director General has put together a great book called Law and Prevention of Abortion in Europe. This is being distributed everywhere. Again, this gives you an idea of what we can do when we work together. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to fund the European Center for Law and Justice. You do that at ACLJ.org. You just saw it in action. We've been talking about trials in San Francisco at federal court, then at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. Your support makes all the difference. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
So this is probably something that is a little new for you, because we usually show, when we show Christoph, or when we actually have gone over to Geneva and made an oral intervention from our American staff or other European staff or international staff have made interventions, or the family members, they have been family members of persecuted Christians, those who are being imprisoned for their faith by a member state of the UN. That's what we usually think of, I think, when we show you Christoph or one of us or one of those family members at the UN doing this. But there's a whole other angle to the fight that the European Center for Law and Justice is engaged in at the UN Human Rights Council. You know, the UN Population Fund is no good. It's all about funding abortion. And the U.S. stopped funding it like it stopped funding the Human Rights Council. But what you might not know is that and we played it before we went to the break, Christoph talking about this move at the UN Human Rights Council, Christoph, to make abortion a human right. The idea that if you are not pro-abortion, and when it means pro-abortion for Planned Parenthood, that means abortion up until birth, basically, that you are somehow anti, they couch it in, you're anti-woman then. And I wanted to ask you this. So Planned Parenthood is actively there, like as an official organization, just like we are?
Yeah, indeed. Planned Parenthood is an accredited NGO at the UN, just like we are. And not only Planned Parenthood, there's Maria Stopes, ILGA, Amnesty International, actually.
Takes that position,
very
too.
Much pro-abortion. And then they are active in the Human Rights Council, but they also are very active in each human rights bodies that exist within the UN in Geneva. And so they frame abortion as a right for each committee. So there is a committee against torture. If you're anti-abortion, you're in favor of torturing women. You know, access to abortion for women is a human right. And if you do not, you prevent them from accessing abortion, you torture them. They frame everything. Women's rights, discrimination against women. That's a committee you might have heard, the CEDAW, Committee on Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. Preventing women from having an abortion is breaching their rights. And so they frame abortion in each committee. They're very active to make it a human right.
And what's interesting, we forget this as the United States, because we talk about the life issue very publicly. But, you know, we're one of only 7 countries in the world that allow late-term abortions. Yeah. It's none of these European countries that are, you know, some of the, obviously the UN is not just Europe, but it's not the European countries that you would think would be so liberal on this. And most of them, it's first trimester and that's it. Nothing past that. So the debate has gotten even more technical, but Planned Parenthood is making that move to say, wait, hold on, that's not enough. And so they've got the International Planned Parenthood Foundation. Remember, they're a $1 billion organization in the U.S.
Just in the U.S.
So they're huge. They're like dealing with a big oil company.
Yeah.
International global conglomerate. And then they've got these side groups who do their bidding too, like Amnesty International, who, by the way, doesn't like talking about that in the U.S. You don't hear that much from the Amnesty International U.S. how pro-abortion they are. As a human,
yeah, what does that have to do with amnesty? It's obviously not amnesty for the unborn.
Or human rights. I mean, when you're talking about people being imprisoned. But again, this idea. Now, this is what I wanted to get to, though. Even with all this move by Planned Parenthood, by these bad state actors who we know are human rights violators, it almost becomes laughable to have a Venezuela, a Sudan, and a Libya on anything called a human rights council. There's ways to get positive action done. Because the UN has special rapporteurs that are not affiliated with countries and staffs and committees that are not affiliated with countries that can launch investigations and actually put pressure on the bad actors. And we've actually been successful in getting those special rapporteurs, Christoph, to take on our cases to these countries, to the UN, bypassing all of these bad actors, really.
I mean, yeah. I mean, on the pro-life issue. There's the Committee on the Right of Person with Disabilities, for instance, who recently took position against the discrimination of disabled children that are aborted because they are disabled.
And so that's at the UN.
At the UN. So you have sometimes some good positions that are taken by experts that are thinking and seeing the discrimination for a disabled child to be aborted up to birth in many countries.
Of course, we had that in here in the United States where they were, you know, we talk about the Virginia legislation, the proposed legislation in Virginia, the one that passed in New York, and when the Virginia legislature, I will never forget that legislator, when she was talking about her bill and realized what was coming out of her mouth, I think even she was stunned with what she was saying.
I think you're right. I think she was stunned with her own barbarism.
Yeah.
And so it's important to keep the pressure on Planned Parenthood. It's important to keep the light on these international activities that are designed to advance an abortion agenda.
All right. And so we've also, and this is important because the ACLJ, all of you, we talk about this, but you know, we show you the videos, but the ACLJ and our members, our donors, supports all of this work going on at the European Center for Law and Justice. You know, it's the main source of funding comes because of you. Because if you're pro-life, you want to be pro-life not just in America. You want to be pro-life at every international institution. As you say, as Christoph said, you can get victories at the international level that you may not even be able to get in the United States. Before we get to the publication that was released by the European Center for Law and Justice with experts going through country by country on abortion and then getting it to politicians. So written not like a law review article, which of course Christoph and Gregor and our team could do, but written so that politicians who weren't legally trained could understand what the abortion laws were in their country and what could be done to make them to do more things that are more pro-life. So Christoph, tell us about this project.
Yeah, we tried to do a comprehensive work treating abortion topic from A to Z and propose solutions to. So we went on all the aspects of abortion. So for instance, the medical issues that are attached to abortion, there are severe consequences for women that resort to an abortion. But also, for instance, guaranteeing the social right not to abort, because Planned Parenthood and others are pushing for abortion as a right, as something good, great. Whereas on many occasions, if the women had the capacity to keep the child, they would. It's because of economics quite often. And so the states are pushing for abortion, whereas they should help families to grow and to be able to have as many children as they would like to. And there's the conscientious objection issue.
Yeah, conscientious objection, right?
For institutions, for religious hospitals.
And that includes medical professionals, too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we have a lot of those cases, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a number of those cases right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, not only the physician himself, the nurse, but also the institution.
Are there a lot of those cases developing? Are you starting to get some of those?
Oh, there have been a lot for decades.
Because that's becoming a big issue here in the United States. Hey, folks, go ahead.
So I just want to say, the only European country that allows late-term abortion is the Netherlands, which was also like the leader on euthanasia. The rest, Singapore, Canada, the United States, China, North Korea, and Vietnam. Most of the world, I mean, Christoph is able, we're really able to really fight there in life and get big victories at the international level, but we need your support. We need more Christophs, if you will, because you can go to that Human Rights Council. There are people, if you watch that video, Dad, they're always there.
Yes.
Because their only job is to constantly speak on issues to that council with all those ambassadors and all those countries on camera at the UN, making a record so that the world can see what issue you are bringing forward. To do that, we need more resources. We need your support financially. So if you care about the issues like life, not just here in the U.S., but globally, donate to the American Center for Law and Justice today at aclj.org, and we'll keep fighting all around the world for the unborn.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ.